All right, it's me, and I want to thank everyone at the Oasis Podcast, as you were.
Hello and welcome back to the Oasis Podcast, the ultimate audio guide to Oasis. I hope you guys are all right. We've got a fun episode today. I am going to be joined by Kyle Dale and Dan Maloney from the Oasis Collectors Group. Yes, the holy grail of Oasis collecting has been found. It's the studio I Am the Walrus and the Sawmill Sessions that includes it. You can get hold of this if you contact the only way to do it, though, is the Oasis Collectors Group. So if you're not on Facebook, I'm sorry, you're going to have problems until it leaks, which it probably will at some point. But for now, if you want to hear what we're talking about, then join the Oasis Collectors Group on Facebook, and you'll see a link in there, the details of how you can get hold of a copy, either a CD or a download. So head over to the Oasis Collectors Group to check that out. But yeah, it's a good fun chat. I hope you guys enjoy it. Also, one other bit of news I didn't cover with the guys is that Ryan Adams, who famously did the Wonderwall cover a few years ago, looks like he's doing sort of a bunch of Oasis covers. I think he was going to do the full What's the Story Morning Glory album, but then he hasn't done every single track so far. So I don't know what's going to happen with that, whether he does physically put it out or it's just one of those things that a few of them pop up on Instagram. But yeah, it's good stuff. If you like the Ryan Adams Wonderwall cover, then you'll like these. Yeah, to me, it's like, yeah, they're all pleasant. They're all enjoyable. They're well done. They're well performed. Interesting arrangements of the songs. But for me, it's all just a bit quiet and a bit annoying. And the fact they're on Instagram, that's the only place you can get them so far, although someone has uploaded some to YouTube. But, you know, for me, this sort of music would be perfect for, like, okay, I'm doing some work, or I'm reading, or I'm doing something that would be good to have on in the background. That for me is what these are perfect for. And if you keep having to flick onto Instagram and move on to the next page, well, you can't really do that. So I kind of I get that Ryan Adams does this sort of thing. He's done the same thing for Taylor Swift, and he's done the same thing for Bruce Springsteen as well. Yeah, he does these sort of cover versions. He's apparently a bit of a dodgy geezer. I don't know. I haven't followed it hugely closely, to be honest, but I know there was a lot of accusations about him being pretty terrible to women a couple of years ago. So if that for you is something that would mean you will not listen to his music, then I completely understand. But yeah, if you want to check out his stuff, then go and check out on Instagram, I suppose. Nothing else particularly interesting. I mean, we touch on it a little bit in the episode, but it did come out the other day. The Sun newspaper, or the Scum, as a lot of us call it, on Friday night, released this exclusive that Noel and his wife Sarah are getting divorced. And and it was actually confirmed by Noel's spokesman. Which is sad. I mean, the you know, it's always sad, and I always think about the children as well. You've got Sonny and Donovan, who are only, what, 12 and 15, I believe. So that's horrible. Obviously, divorce is horrible in every family. Yes, they are multimillionaires, but still, it's unpleasant, and it's sad to think that that's happening to them. Then the inevitable Oasis reunion discussion comes up, which I touch upon in the interview. It's just so boring to me. I mean, it's even now come out as like a BBC News thing, because Noel said in one of the interviews he's done, never say never, but it would have to be extraordinary circumstances, which is slightly more on the potentially yes side than he has been in the past. But it's, you know, it's no real different, really, to be honest. There's no indication that anything's going to be happening anytime soon. So yeah, whatever. Not that interesting. But yeah, so anyway, so we'll get on to cover that briefly in the chat. Plus, we also talk about the new song, Easy Now, and the album announcement, and all that sort of stuff. It's mentioned as well. I'd love to hear what you guys think of Easy Now and the album announcement. Are you into it? let me know. Feel free to drop over a audio message, oasispod@gmail.com. And yeah, anyway, I think that is all from me. We will now hand over to me with Kyle and Dan.
I'm okay, mate. How are you doing? You okay?
Yeah, all good. All good, except for Zoom being crap. But the listeners won't know about that. And also making his debut on the podcast, it's Dan Maloney. How you doing, man?
Good, thanks, James. Good to be here, mate.
Yeah, good to speak to you, mate.
Absolutely,
isn't it? It's all okay, Zach. where are you from, Dan? It's East End or Essex, is it?
Oh, South London.
South London. Peckham.
Yeah.
Lovely. Lovely. Nelson Mandela House.
Oh, sort of near there, yeah.
Fair enough. And you've not come on before. So give us your Oasis origin story. Because I think you're a little bit older than me and Kyle. So you came to Oasis as a little bit older, not like a young teenager.
I was sort of mid-20s when I was exposed to Definitely Maybe. I was actually 25. And since then, it's just sort of stuck. Do you know what I mean? It's like, I just fell in love with it. Absolutely fell in love with it. First time I heard Definitely Maybe, I was on a coach with a bunch of guys. And one of the younger guys said to me, Dan, have a listen to this. And he stuck his headphones on my head. And it was Definitely Maybe. And it just blew me away. It was just nothing like I've heard before. You know, I grew up in the rave scene, and before that, people body popping and spinning on their heads and things. So I loved it. I absolutely loved it, and I still do. It's one of the greatest albums for me ever.
Yeah, absolutely. Great. And what about, have you carried on? You carried on as a fan throughout, have you? And then also become a collector as well.
Yeah, no, I did. I sort of came a collector. I say a collector immediately when I first bought the vinyl. I would buy two. And play one and keep one unplayed, and the CDs and the gold and silver cigarette box sets and things like that. I started with that kind of level, beginners sort of coming that kind of level, and it's just progressed over the years. But I sort of bowed out of it for a while. I got to sort of standing on the shoulders, and then I started having kids and things like that, and then it just sort of fell away. And then back in 2000 and maybe 2009, 2010. I sort of picked it up again and started collecting again and sort of getting back into it. So it's sort of been an in and out thing, but it's been with me for 25 whatever years, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and
I still collect, not as much as I used to or as much as I would like, but I still do collect, yeah.
Yeah, and I know you've come on today because there's you've got a very interesting piece, and one of the holy grails of the Oasis world, something we've talked about for a long time, and we didn't know the truth and what was going on. Did this thing exist? Well, we now know it exists, and a few of us out there have now heard it. So we'll get onto that in a sec. But I just wanted to just pick up, because it's a big day. Any day when a Gallagher releases new music is an exciting day. So Noel Gallagher's released his new tune, which is called Easy Now, and he's announced that the album is going to be out in June, and it's called Council Skies. He did a load of interviews today. I've watched a couple of them, and it's same old Noel interview. He's sort of telling his sort of same stories, really, and not really getting the in-depth info on the album that we really want. One of the things I thought was interesting, though, is that, a couple of days ago, we had this announcement that he was, like, getting divorced. It was the front cover of the paper, and yet, he does this. I was thinking, well, is he still going to do these interviews? Because surely they're going to be asking about this divorce thing. But no one did. And I even talked about his missus and stuff in the interview. So I just get and I actually messaged someone at Absolute Radio. And apparently it was their one, at least, was recorded on Friday in the day.
So it was like before any of that stuff had come out on Friday night, Saturday morning.
So I'm going to take a deep dive into your astrological projection and ask you some questions related to your star sign. And we start with Geminis, love to dance. Apart from you, you told me on this show that you even struggled with the first dance at your own wedding.
Yeah, it was all. I mean, it was just my daughter, bless her. She realised what was going on. She kind of led the charge onto the dance floor.
So was it like the three of you having the first dance together, you mean?
Or briefly. Right. It's dancing is one thing, right?
Yeah.
To Acid House in the 80s when nobody knows who you are. That's one thing. That was great. I loved it. But then, you know, in front of all your mates and you smooching with your missus, you're just like, it made me feel a bit uncomfortable, actually.
Okay.
I think it might have been the longest 90 seconds before it hit the chorus that I've ever experienced.
Oh, you mean she kind of like started ushering people onto the floor? That's a lovely thing to do.
I do believe the rules are, at the first chorus, everybody joins in.
Yeah.
And Ais led the charge about 30 seconds before that because she was like, okay, he's struggling here.
Bless her. Yeah. That's nice.
And of course, my missus is a fabulous dancer. I was letting the side down.
Yeah, okay.
But I did, you know, dancing at raves used to be great.
But yeah, I wasn't sure if it would do that. But yeah, you guys hear the new tune? Any thoughts on that?
I like it. Yeah, it's good. It reminds me of the debut album. You know what I mean? Yeah. It reminds me of kind of back to basics. And I think I'm from a place called Openshaw originally, which is about 10 minutes away from where that album cover was taken, the old City Ground. So it's I'm excited for it. Hearing that first tune, Pretty Boy was a weird one for me because Pretty Boy came out and instantly thought, oh man, I'm not sure on this. But within five plays, I was like, I like it. You know, and now I think it's one of the best things he's done as a solo. I really, really like it. But it's good. And the packages obviously all came out for pre-order today. Usual tricks to get you to multi-buy and bundle buy and whatnot. But I'm excited for it. It's a shame we've got to wait so long, but that's vinyl pressing issues, I'm going to guess.
Yeah, I've heard that vinyl pressing is just knackered at the moment. Like, you know, everyone's in a massive queue to get their vinyls done.
I think a good thing with this one is some of the band are recording on it as well, which I think is a real push. You know what I mean? I'm seeing Russ next weekend, as you know, and he's on it, he's recording on it, and Gem and whatnot. So it'd be a good... it feels like they're all coming together for this top album. So I'm really excited about this one. Really excited.
Yeah, cool. What about yourself, Dan? Do you tend to follow the High Flying Birds or not as much?
Not so much. I mean, I appreciate what it is, and with what Liam does. I mean, I was at Nebworth last year, and I appreciate what they do separately. But for me, I'm a Oasis fan. I do like some of the stuff that they do. Not all of it, you know what I mean. But for me, I'm just not a fan. I'm just not that of a fan on his own. I'm not. I'm just for me to sit here and say I am.
No. Well, that's it. It's all, you know. It is a broad church, and it's you know, it is what you're into, isn't it? And if that's it, if that happens to be your stuff, you know, I did fall off, and I didn't tend to listen to a huge amount of Gallagher music or BDI. And it was only really doing the podcast that then has forced me to then go back in and listen to it again. And now, obviously, doing the pod, I'm in it every day, is like following it, or it's like as a secondary job sort of thing. But yeah, no, I completely understand where you're coming from. Go on, Carl.
That's amazing, isn't it? It's phases, isn't it? You phase in and out of stuff. I mean, for me, I'll always put on the first four Oasis albums. That'll be daily. They'll come on daily. But then I'll go in through phase where I think, you know what, I'm going to listen to Chasing Yesterday today. I'm going to listen to As You Were. But I never put them on regularly all the time. Something will click in and make me go, oh, listen to that. And I'll have a week of solid for that album. But it is, I can see what Dan means there. It's not something that I regularly go and put back on constantly. Whereas the early Oasis stuff is kind of like the same with the early Verve stuff. It's always on daily.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's hard to dip in and dip out, yeah.
Yeah, well, I thought it was good. I thought I liked the tune, Easy Now. I thought it was, very much going back to the sort of the first album sort of style. It's very close to Dying of the Light, you know, where there's, you know, that it's like almost a couple of bits of the melody are like, oh, come on, Noel. Like, you know, he's doing the, he rips off In Bloom by Nirvana, na 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 na, and he ripped it off for Dying of the Light as well. So I was like, oh, it sounds like In Bloom, but it sounds like Nirvana. Oh, he's ripped off In Bloom twice now. Okay, fair enough. So that's good old Noel. And the you know, and then the I think there's a little bit as well going into the chorus. It actually sounds like All Right Now by Liam. It's definitely got a vibe of that. And I sort of thought, well, that's interesting. I don't think he's ripped off All Right Now by Liam, but I think he's sort of you know, that's it's just a coincidence. But yeah, I mean, it is good. I don't think it sort of it doesn't jump out, and there isn't like a big hook, you know, like where he sings, you know, there's a big chorus you can latch on to or a big moment that you can latch on to. It sort of is just generally a good, well-paced, sort of well-structured song that's enjoyable to listen to. And it has grown on me. First time I listened to it, I was like, okay, he's just redone Dying of the Light. You know, I wasn't that interested. But then having listened to it a few times today, I think, no, it's good. It is definitely an impressive song. And it's got a guitar solo. You know, it's nice to have a guitar solo again in an old song. You know, we don't get many of those in the last few years.
It's a shame at the time of this reunion, and it's just the common sense tells you it's not going to be even discussed for a long time. It's just dropped an album now. You're going to have a year of touring promotion for that. He's not even going to want to discuss it, but that's all that people are going to talk about. You've seen it today, everywhere today on all.
It's tiresome. To me, it's like I've been doing the podcast for like 6 years, and it tends to be if I do interviews with other people and stuff. And they ask me like, oh, and what do you think about the Oasis reunion? I'm thinking, oh, God, I'm just so bored of that question. Because you're saying it's exactly the same thing over and over again. Whenever it comes up in an article or whatever, it's always the same thing over again. You get half the people say, oh, they shouldn't do it. They should keep it how it is. Half the people say, oh, it'd be brilliant. The boys should get back together. And then a bunch of people say, oh, well, you know, oh, they should be mates first. That's the most important thing. They should be brothers first. We've heard it a million times. Yeah. You know what I mean? And there's nothing else to be said. He's not going to do it. And if he does it, then we'll talk about it at that time. But otherwise, it's like, you know, if you're a boxing fan, it's like Fury v. Joshua. I mean, how long have we been talking about that? 5 years. You know what I mean? And it's like, if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But I'm just sick of going back and forth on it so much.
Well, that's it. So hopefully it dies down. It's just about the album. Because I think Liam's last album was... Again, they're the same. They grow on me. They really grow on me. I listen to them and think it's not as good as the last one. But then within days, I'm like, oh, it's cool. Actually, it's up there. I'm excited about this one though. I'm not a massive fan of all the instrumentals and remixes that come on deluxes. I'm not bothered about them. I don't really listen to them. But it's a good welly of tunes to look at with this one. So I think it'll be good to see. And I don't think there'll be a signed option available like Liam does. I think it'll just be what's on there now. I was kind of hoping for a box set, but somebody pointed out today he's not done any album box sets before. He's only done the best of and the singles box set for the debut. So I don't actually think there will be a box set. So I bit the bullet and paid for one of the packages today on the website. But there's a good variety of stuff on there. It kills me how much they spread stuff out, though. You know what I mean? They put like a 7-inch in with that package and a pick disc in with that one. It's like, ugh. But that's the game, isn't it? That's the game.
I know. Well, I've got the perfect way to deal with that, mate. I just listen to it on Spotify. Like, see, I'm done. I don't have any of the physical stuff. Yeah, and looking at the actual music, you know, what is going to come out. I mean, one annoying thing is there's 11 tracks on the main album, but with the Easy Now having come out today, he's including three tracks that he's released before, plus Easy Now. So even if we don't get anything else between now and June, we're only going to get seven new songs. And yeah, we'll probably get at least another one, you know, in sort of as a single now, probably in a couple of months. So by the time it comes out, we'll only get six new songs. You know what I mean? Yeah. And then, yeah, then there is a bonus disc, which has got the cover of Mind Games on it that he dropped a clip out of, which would be good. I'd be interested to hear that. But other than that, it's like remixes and instrumental versions. And it's
also
got,
Don't Stop.
Yeah, Don't Stop's going to be on there. Yeah. And
that's a weird one, wasn't it? Because that was a proper, I think that was first heard in a sound check in Japan, wasn't it? A long time ago. And then came out as a kind of bootleg vinyl when it was put on Spotify. That was a good tune, but it's it's a weird one to put on there.
And the funny thing about that as well is that that's by Oasis. That came out as Oasis. And so is he, I don't know if he's, because what I've seen on what's been released, it just says Don't Stop, whereas what came out before was Don't Stop Demo. So because if it's come under Oasis, then surely you'd have to still call it Oasis, or unless he's re-recorded it and put it out under an NGA.
It's not a full tune. That could be all right. That could be good to listen to. They're the good ones. Yeah. I saw that G-Max soundcheck tape on auction, was it 2 months ago or something? And during that, he sang two demoed songs. You know, they were very, very raw. What else did they do on there? I did a demo of Full On and a Beatles cover, Tomorrow Never Knows, is it called? So that was a good sound check to hear and see. And that old one in Japan has turned into a new release on Spotify and now maybe a full official release. So maybe he is looking down at the back catalogue and thinking, what's down the back of the sofa that could make some money and make some fans happy, you know?
Mm. Well, I mean, he should do. I mean, he did, you know, when that Don't Stop came out, he did, when he released it on the Magic Secrets thing, he did say, like, you know, oh, we will probably for Record Store Day every year, like, just keep to looking what else is down the back of the sofa. Because we know he's got loads of stuff. We know they demo stuff. We know that there's, you know, they you know, have these various versions and stuff kicking around. But they don't put it out to us. You know, they just put out kind of, you know, instrumentals and remixes by Robert Smith. I'm like, I don't need to hear a remix of Pretty Boy by Robert Smith. Dear, but anyway, talking about demos and you know, things we hadn't heard before. So the main thing I think we're going to talk about is that thanks to Danny, we've now got the opportunity to hear the Sawmill Studio recordings of a bunch of Definitely Maybe songs, mixed at Eden Studios. That was, you know, that has been rumored and talked about, and we've been aware of this tape being around in the background for years, and thinking that especially the big thing that we didn't know was there's a studio version of I'm the Walrus. And we've talked about it for years. Does it exist? We've heard it exists. Garcia said it existed, but then you never know what's going on. And then Dan, do you want to take on the story?
Oh, yeah. I was fortunate enough to own that tape, that original tape of those sessions. I bought it off a dealer probably about 10 years ago, and I didn't own it for long. It just came through my hands. I had it for about a year, but I had it copied onto CD before I let it go for my personal use. And I sold it and passed it on, and that was the end of it. And I had this CD knocking about in my house. It's moved a couple of times with me, and it's been in drawers, and I've never paid it much attention. To be honest, it was a really bad recording. I don't know if it was where they transferred it from the tape to the CD and it got lost in transfer. It was very low recorded. It was really compressed, and it sounded like you was listening to it from another room. It sounded awful. So I used to dig it out every now and then. And it wasn't until recently, when I had it sent off and had it remastered, that it sort of lit me up, if you like, because it really did. It really did like come out of itself. And that's the story behind it. And I had it very recently. It was only at the beginning of this month that I sent it away to this guy called Jonathan, and I gave it to him. What happened is that I met Kyle last year. We met at a Microdot event at the Waterbats in London. I went there and we got chatting. I took a Definitely Maybe album that I had signed, and I wanted Brian Cannon to sign it. Anyway, we eventually got chatting to Kyle, and he said to me to come onto the group. And then I thought, you know, what a great idea it would be for everyone to hear it. You know, it's been sitting there. I've got it. The great thing about having this stuff is having it, but the not so great thing is it's very personal. And when you've got something like that, it gets locked away and nobody can hear it. Everybody knows it's there. Like you said, you've been speaking about it for years, but nobody's ever heard it. And I just thought it was time to free it. And let everybody. So the beginning of this month, it was only early January, like literally 2 weeks ago, I took it to a guy and I gave it to him. And I told him what it was, and he said, well, because of how important it is, I'm just going to take me a week. And I left his house and I came out there and I thought, you know, I sent him an email and I said, Jonathan, just leave it as it is. You know, just make it louder, make it clearer, you know. Just open it up and don't do anything else to it. He was talking about polishing it right up. But then I kind of thought, if you do that, then it's not what it's meant to be anymore. You know, it loses its authenticity, if you like. I said, it's got to be authentic. So it still sounds like a demo, you know. And when I got it back, you know, I was driving in my van. I stuck it in the van and I was like, ow. It was incredible.
What's really good about it is, the first time I listened to it, it's not rock and roll at all. It was doing a Jurassic World Dominion jigsaw with my kid in the kitchen. So I'll put it in the background and see how this goes. Well, that jigsaw got put away within a minute. You know what I mean? It's really, you know, what I really like about it is Liam's voice is so out of tune here and there. You know, you really notice that he gets things totally wrong. And I think that makes it, hearing a rock and roll star that's 7+ minutes is mental. And bizarrely, I don't know if you agree with this one, but the Walrus one was the least one I listened to over and over again, because yeah, that kind of sounds like how I expected it, how I expected a studio version of Walrus to sound. So it's brilliant. Listen to it a couple of times. Went back to Bring It On down in Columbia over and over again. It was mad. It was like, you know, yeah. But, I like Jurassic World. It's a good film, but it's not as good as this. The kid, he got put into bed straight away. He said, no, it's bedtime. It's 4 o'clock, it's bedtime. So it was a good few hours, that.
I kind of agree. I like the original. I like the live version of I'm the Walrus better than that one, because it is what I thought it would be like also, you know. And for me, Bring It On Down, I mean, when I heard that, it was like, that out of the whole disc, that's probably the one for me. It sounds raw and dirty, you know. I love it. For me, that's fun on there. We'll be right back.
raw and dirty anyway. So is Columbia. They feel raw. So for them to get even more, you think, wow, that's really different. Yeah. You know, I mean, I just didn't expect that.
I think the cool thing is for me is that, like, you can hear, because definitely maybe I love the sound of that album. Like you said, it's sort of it absolutely blows your mind off because it's so good the way it sounds. But it's because Owen Morris has done his brickwalling and remastering and turned everything up to a million. And so you can't really hear what's going on because there's just so much going on. Whereas what I love here is it's like a brilliantly recorded live performance, in that you can hear Noel, you can hear Bonehead really well, and you can hear the interplay between them on so many of the tracks, which is just great. It's just great to pick out. And you know, being an Oasis nerd, knowing kind of those recordings inside out, just hearing a different guitar line, you just think, oh, doesn't normally do that, you know, and it sort of, it just pricks your ear up, doesn't it? Because you know the main recording so much. Or like you're saying, like Liam doing something slightly differently, like pronouncing a word differently, or I love the fact that Liam's doing backing vocals on quite a few songs, that you just hear him harmonizing with himself. You know, which is something that didn't really happen later. You know, later on, it was Noel would always do the backing vocals. So, and I always love that, hearing Liam harmonize with himself. But yeah, it's great. I really enjoyed listening to it.
Like you say there, James, going for, when you know a song so well, just hearing something very slightly different, like recording a full singing Street Fighting Man. You know, it's just such a simple tweak, but it makes you go, this is a whole totally different tune now. It's totally different feel, totally different, you know, punch to it. It does, a little slight difference really makes a change, doesn't it? It was really good. I do appreciate you chucking it out there, Dan, because it was 10 times better than I thought it would be.
Yeah, no, it was, for me, it was like, when I got the tape, I bought it because it was offered to me at that time. You know, and I bought it because I didn't really understand its significance at the time, if I'm honest. I had it copied and then it went away. And it ain't until this month, I mean, the last 2 weeks, I mean, I play it every day. Mm-hmm. This, I've got one here, I've got one on the CD here. And it just blows my head off. And I'm hearing things, like you talk about, all those little tiny things, like in Slide Away. It is absolutely terrible, but absolutely brilliant all at the same time. And it's lacking. It hasn't got that guitar solo in it, which for me in the original is the best part of the song. Liam, for me, in the released version, or by the way, for me, it was his best vocal he ever did. You know, yeah. It was beautiful. And to hear him kind of, in some parts of it, sound like he's struggling a little bit, and it's not so good. It adds to it. I prefer it because you don't get to hear him sing like that. You know what I mean?
Demo that was done, there was an acoustic by Noel back in 97, and the bridge of it, the song itself is a totally new song, but the bridge of the song had the melody that then turned into Go Let It Out years later on. So the song, the words are totally different, but the bridge turned into the chorus of Go Let It Out. So it's the melody bit rather than the tune. So I like to see the evolution of tunes with any band. It's good to see kind of start where it ends. Seeing something like Slide Away go from, because that is potentially most people's favourite Oasis tune, you know, it's straight down to the bare bones, mistakes and missing the solo is top. Yeah.
And I think in the documentaries, they make it sound like Noel went out to the back room and he wrote these songs in half an hour, and he came out and he gave them to Liam and gave him the lyrics, and then Liam went into the booth and he sung them. But this, evidently, he didn't, you know, that he did. They had process, like you say, to get to where it was finished. You know what I mean? And it is great to have the opportunity to actually hear part of that process. You know what I mean? And with the whole thing, I love it. It's great.
Yeah, no, it's an important part of the process. It's like you said, it's sort of, it's mad to me that this hasn't gone out in all of the various, like, definitely maybe kind of repackages and reissues and things they've done over the years. Why the hell haven't we had this, you know? And it's like, if you guys have got a copy, then surely someone at Ignition has got a copy, or Noel's got a copy somewhere, you know what I mean? Because it's out there. And it's like you were saying, Carl, about the demo CDs that you've had over the years. It's like, you know, I've heard stuff on your demo CDs, and I'm like, that is brilliant. Like, that is better than Don't Stop. You know, there's a particular tune from the sound check that I really love, that sort of references another Oasis song. And you're like, that's amazing. Like, I think that is that's one of my favorite. I think about that tune all the time. And I'm like, why the hell is that not been released?
It's a personal, like you say, Dan could have spent a lot of money buying something, or I could have been given something. What trouble anybody could get in by putting it out there? I've done the right thing myself, and I contacted Ignition before the Be Here Now anniversary, and effectively offered, can I give you this tape back again, and say, look, please do take this effing back, because I can't, I don't want to get in trouble. It is, I think there's loads of stuff there, loads of stuff they could tap into. So I think Don't Stop Being on this album is worth it.
And it'll be interesting to see, like we said, over the years, like what stuff they do come up with next, if they do raid the archives. But even things that, like, we know about, like, the, you know, there's a version of Songbird that's electric, you know, or you've got like Lord Don't Slow Me Down that Liam sings. You know, we know that there's Step Out with Liam singing, because that was leaked from the what's his name, Tim Abbott night. And Liam the other day posted that, he tweeted out the link to Maxi Gonzalez's a version of it. And so it's like, you know, we know there's this stuff out there, but, you know, obviously Noel is so busy with doing whatever else he wants to do with his new stuff that he's just not spending the time going through it.
I think there's probably about 9 or 10 genuine unheard tunes out there that are owned by various people. It could make an album. You know what I mean? It could make an album. Yeah. So it's worth, the more you poke and ask for these things, the more they could potentially become a possibility. You know?
Cool. Cool. All right, good. Look, well, guys, thank you very much for your time. Really, really appreciated. And we'll catch you again soon.
See you later, mate. See you later.
All right, cheers, guys. Thanks very much.
All right, thank you very much to Kyle and Dan. I hope you guys enjoyed that. Always a pleasure to talk to Kyle, top man. Always lots of interesting stuff going on. You know, as you've heard in there, he's got sort of signings coming up with various members of the Oasis and High Flying Birds, and that's just a fantastic opportunity for Oasis collectors to get your stuff signed without, you know, hanging around in the rain outside a gig venue till 2 a.m. on the off chance they might come out. So, you know, it's a great service he's doing, really. But anyway, if you do want to get a hold of that CD or the downloads of the Sawmill Sessions we discussed, then head over to the Oasis Collectors group, and you'll find the post there about how to do that. And I asked for your guys' thoughts on Easy Now, and I've had a message come in from Steve Mahoney.
Greetings, this is Steve Mahoney reporting to the Oasis podcast. It's January 18th, 2023. I'm on the mean streets of Soho, London. A moment's walk from Berwick Street, the cover of What's the Story, Morning Glory. Just to give you a quick review of the new Noel Gallagher's High Flying Birds track, Easy Now, is an out. You could tell a lot's gone into this, and it's going to be an interesting album, because hopefully it'll mix some of his sonic discoveries the last 10 years with his good songwriting. I suppose for me, there's always an overarching sense of melancholy with Noel's stuff, whereas, if you know, it's obviously they're not reforming and it's a bit, you know, lowbrow to say it, but if Liam was singing it, he does bring a sort of positivity and I don't know, more of a defiant sort of council estate, ironically, vibe to it. With Noel, it does all sort of sound like the epic production-led stuff since Heathen Chemistry he's done, which is good, but I don't want to be too down on it. I'm giving it 7 out of 10. I think it's a good song. I've put it on a few times, got some good hooks. Lots of love to the Oasis podcast. Thanks for all you do. It's really meaningful. We're important that it's not just corporate channels that all this stuff is gone through, because the fans is the most important thing about this. And the positivity and community of Oasis was a huge thing, got us all into music. So, James, thanks a lot. See you in Vegas. Oh, yeah. And if you want to edit this out, James, that's cool. But I'm a musician also. I've got a new single coming out on February 27th called All the Best. And, you know, it's really deeper than it sounds. It's not just like lyrics from a greetings card. All the Best, it's like Bob Delaney style music with better singing, but probably not as profound. Lots of love. See you soon. Bye.
Hey, what can I say? I got in my own way, but it was nothing to do with you. I know you were confused, clearly I was too. It was nothing to do with you. So here's a song for you, and a song for me. Put it all to rest and wish you all the best.
Thank you very much, mate. Really appreciate it. I think that's a good point, really, about Noel talks about council skies here and council estates. But yeah, he doesn't really come across very council estatey these days, does he? Whereas Liam, even though he's a millionaire in his own right, still kind of has that council estate kind of vibe to him in the way he dresses and behaves and the sort of the sound of a lot of his music. So yeah, I get that. It'll be interesting when the full album comes out and we sort of get a clearer feel for it. So thank you very much. And yeah, I think that will about do it. Until next time, stay in touch, stay engaged and stay young.